All right, we're good.
You need water?
All right, Mayor, we're all set.
Okay. All right, everyone, welcome to the Borough Roosevelt Council meeting of December 12th, 2022 at 7:09 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on October 28th, 2022, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Lou Esikoff?
Here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Herstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Turmel?
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay, in lieu of a report, I have some things to bring up that I will bring up at new business. So we come to correspondence. We have a letter received from Roberts Engineering, dated November 29th, 2022, regarding the New Jersey Department of Transportation grant award for funding for North Valley Road in the amount of $219,420. The second item is a compliance evaluation and assistance inspection report from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, Water Compliance and Enforcement, dated November 18, 2022, for the water treatment plant. And the third thing is a statement of determination from Monmouth County, along with the Monmouth County official list of municipal winners from the general election.
And that would be Mike Hamilton.
Oh, and Connie Herstrom.
Yes, congratulations. Another three more years.
You sounded like a prison term. I get time off for good behavior or what?
No time off. All right, come to public comment. I will open the floor at 7:11 p.m., but seeing that there's no one from the public here, I will close the floor at 7:11 p.m. So we come to approval of minutes. I have September 6, 2022, closed meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Turmel?
Yes.
Okay, we come to our ordinances. We have a second.
No, there's just another.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. The minutes of October 17th, 2022, also closed meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Yep.
Sounds good.
And I'll second. Okay. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herdstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Turmel?
Yes.
Okay, minutes are approved, both sets of minutes. We come to the second reading of Ordinance 2022-10, an ordinance amending subpart 5-6.2, license required fee of subsection 5-6.2, potentially dangerous dogs of section 5-6, potentially dangerous dogs, vicious dogs of Article 1, dogs of Chapter 5, Animal Control, to increase license fee for potentially dangerous dogs within the borough. Yeah, so we have to open the floor. Well, we have to open the floor first. It's a public hearing, so I have to open the floor. Okay, I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 7:13 p.m. And as there is no one from the public here, I will close it at 7:13 p.m. I know if you do a roll call.
Okay, so now a motion to adopt on second reading.
I'll second.
I have a question. Kathy, did anybody call you from one of the radio stations?
Me, yeah.
They called you also?
Yep.
They
or
yeah.
called or emailed?
Emailed. They emailed.
No phone call.
Yeah.
About what?
About the dogs.
They asked like 100 questions about the dogs.
Did you get it too?
Yeah.
I told them I didn't. I consulted with my guru and she said, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I didn't even know where the source was. I didn't know who they were or anything. It wasn't clear.
He's apparently legitimate, but I...
It was a radio station.
Yeah, but I wasn't clear.
Why all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah. So.
I didn't respond.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't either. Okay, taking the roll call.
Okay, Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so...
2022-10 is adopted. We come to the consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 22-109, payment of bills for December 12th, 2022. Resolution 22-110, resolution accepting bids and awarding contract to Russell Reed Waste Hauling and Disposal Service Company, Incorporated, for the removal of liquid sludge from the borough's wastewater treatment plant. Resolution 22-111, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt awarding contracts for provision of certain chemicals to borough's water and sewer utilities. Resolution 22-112, resolution authorizing execution of an interlocal services agreement for regional animal control services. And finally, resolution 22-113, a resolution authorizing the borough engineer to conduct soil borings and testing at the borough's wastewater treatment plant property to evaluate the feasibility of alternatives for repair/replacement of said plant's trickling filters at a cost not to exceed $10,000.
So moved.
When can we make comment on this?
Well, yeah, before... No, no. So I need a first and a second. So Lou,
I'll second.
First it? Okay, you second. Okay. Okay, now discussion.
Okay, on 22-111, the prices, some of them have doubled. And
tripled.
Tripled. Some have tripled.
Yeah.
So we decided to try to get all that we can in this year's budget and stock up on whatever chemicals we need.
At the current price.
Yeah, yeah. And then next year we'll have to foot the bill for whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Also on the... soil boring and whatnot. I looked at the situation there today, and speaking with Carmella in the past about doing stuff to enlarge the plant, the north side, the north fence, she's saying might have to be extended out 30 feet. And if that happens, in order to get the boring trucks in there, some trees are going to have to go. Just so we know that there might be some
reluctantly. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
I also wanted to say, when I ran the cost of the chemicals and looked at the whole budget for utilities, it's not going to impact the budget tremendously. It's a huge percentage increase, and I don't understand why it's double or triple.
But, why did everything triple?
Yeah, but they just triple everything because they haven't had cost increases in a while, and they take advantage of it. But yeah,
like those products are brought on U-ship, so they're divided into trucks, and they're divided into your local. Like there's like seven. It's okay. Not like buying the fencing.
Yeah,
like three people touch it, like seven or eight people touch it to get it here. So okay. They just add the cost of diesel.
Yeah,
all the way up the chain. Right.
Yeah,
it's killer. And so it's not just unique to you. Allentown also doubled. Yeah, like all the bioxide doubled.
Yeah.
It's everywhere because of the way they ship it.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, so each one is tacking on the fuel.
It's just something that's transported and divided a lot. If you think of it, it comes in on a huge container ship, one of those big boats, and then there's a depot, and then there's a depot, and I don't know, it comes in Mississippi. I don't like know exactly where it is. But it's not around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you store that in the middle of nowhere because it's dangerous chemicals.
Yeah.
And so all the shipping costs or something that's hazardous like that costs a fortune.
Okay.
So it will be thousands more per year, not tens of thousands. We already looked at that. It will be a few thousand
I mean, sodium hydroxide is contained in a truck that weighs like four times the amount of the sodium hydroxide itself.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. So we don't use that much of that.
Well, we use it. It's pertinent. It has to be. We have to have it.
Well, compared to concrete that's locally made, like right at Tin Falls, because it's got to be drawn in a short period of time, like it's the same.
Close to Boulder.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda resolutions are adopted. Reports of committee chairs?
I'd like to ask if the chair can, if we can rearrange the order of business under committee chairs to allow Connie's report to come before mine. It just makes sense in terms of some of the information that she has talking about the proposed amphitheater project, and then I can go into the finances. And this way the council will be briefed on what we're talking about in terms of an amphitheater, possible amphitheater project, and then I can talk about the impact.
No problem. The funny thing is, I was actually thinking about going backward today so that Bob is not always first and Joe is not always last. So maybe I'll do
backwards.
That. Nice little change up.
Okay.
Council Member Trammell, Utilities.
All right. I just moved the microphone for now. The biggest thing with me is on Lake Drive, the lift station for the sewer over there, got two pumps, a redundant pump, and one of them got damaged. It had rags in it, and that kills the pumps. So they have a.
When you say rags, do you mean like the flush, like the non-flushable
flushable,
or an actual rag?
Actual rags. Yeah. There's photos of it. And
so that means someone put the rags in their toilet.
You know, I try not to do that.
Okay.
But yeah. So and. I know that we put on the water sewer bills. Or rags. No, but that's
or
a, it should be an obvious
thing. The only thing that should go in there is toilet paper and
It could be kids,
else.
Too. I know a kid who flushed a unicorn down there once.
My daughter flushed my watch down once.
There you go.
And I got to go now.
Yeah.
Goldfish. I know people flush dead goldfish, but other than that.
Okay, that's what's happening. So they had a spare pump that was always there at the sewer plant, but they checked it out and it did not work. So between repairing two pumps and then having a spare, it'll be a little less than $10,000 total. So
that's a lot of money for people to do things like that.
This is not the first time that this
has
happened.
Sure.
No, it's worldwide. I mean, all over the world they're having
aside
this problem.
From Greece. Greece is the largest problem. They can't
you know,
Greece
I have a funny feeling that people do it by accident. They don't want to put their hand in there.
Joe, I have a question. When I moved here 48 years ago, I was told that you could not have a garbage disposal in town. Is that still true?
All the houses on my block have them. Was
you
built
do?
In.
We had one when we moved in.
Yeah.
We took it out.
Yeah. I think a lot of houses have. Why can't you have a garbage disposal?
At that time, they said the system couldn't handle it.
That's the solid waste from the garbage disposal. What it does is it crunches it all the way up. And then when it gets
makes
to
soup
the,
out of it.
Yeah, it kind of makes soup. Mm-hmm. But when it gets to the plant, first thing it goes through is that muffin monster they pour, and that grinds things up even more, and then it goes into the plant. Now, what happens is all the solids get taken out, and they settle to the bottom, and that's how Russell Reed here when he takes all of the sludge.
Well, I guess it's in much better condition than it was in 74, so.
Oh, no, it's working now.
I don't want one, but, you know, I just never hear anything about it. I know we don't say anything to new residents, so I wasn't sure if it was still true.
I don't see any problem with it.
They convert it to fertilizer.
Well, that's what they do after it leaves here.
It doesn't hurt the environment.
All right, I'm just curious. Okay.
Yeah. The sludge. It's all of the solid waste. A lot of the chemicals go into the wastewater, and they let the solid components float to the bottom. And that's what most of the chemicals are for, I believe. Some are for pH, some are for stuff like that, but a lot of it makes the solids settle to the bottom. Once it's settled to the bottom, they come and remove it. Russell Reed.
Well, that's what triggered it when you said that there's people put grease down there, and I wondered how grease reacts with the garbage disposal.
Grease is different. No, grease goes down, and it clings to the pipe, and it hardens, and it narrows the pipe.
Especially in cold weather.
Especially in cold weather, and it's just, it is a problem worldwide putting grease into the sewer plants because it will reduce the size of the pipe itself just because it clings to the pipe, top, bottom, sides.
Yeah.
And it was about 6 months, a year ago, that Dan, one of the wastewater guys, went into the manhole and dug out all the grease. And it was like, I'd say if you took this cart here, it was that much grease that he pulled out, dumped off to the side, and then they...
But that's my question. So does the garbage disposal affect that at all?
No.
Negatively or positively?
That's got nothing to do with grease. Grease and garbage disposal.
Okay.
Unless they're pouring the grease down the garbage disposal, that's good.
Well, right. You would be doing that, but that's in the house, and it flushes out to the pipes. And it would ruin your normal pipes out to the sewer system if it was allowed to sit there long enough. But usually it'll flush all the way out to the mains. And once it's in the mains, then it's got a long ways to travel between all the way up on North Valley, all the way down to the plant.
Would it be less taxing on the system to if nobody had a garbage disposal?
It'd probably be about the same because the chemical component's still gonna let all the residue float to the bottom.
Not only that, but you know what it does, it also neutralizes a lot of the chemicals eventually.
Yeah.
And you have less damage. That's not a bad thing.
If we had less garbage disposals, we might have less sludge to haul away.
That's all.
Were you told that when you moved in? That you couldn't have a garbage disposal?
Yeah, but I didn't pay any attention.
Oh. I was obedient. I was told no garbage disposal, so I never put one in.
Yeah.
Never damaged anything.
Yeah. I think we should remind people not to put grease down the drain.
Grease, yes.
Grease is a big thing.
You're aware that...
We should make a little video, like from the movie Grease, to catch people's attention and go, it's good in the movie, it's not good in your sink or tub.
Yeah,
you know, get something to do to get people's attention.
Maybe even just on the water sewer utility bill.
Did
not flush grease.
She's in a cycle.
Does anybody read that? I think the people that are her habitual offenders don't care what it says on the bill.
Maybe a flyer.
I think you're preaching to the choir when you put it on the bill.
Maybe for a short time, the whole bulletin board should just be that.
Just grease?
Well, no. A sign about that.
About grease?
A sign about the sewer system, what not to put down.
Maybe.
Let it, for a month.
Yeah. Why not?
Then people can put their
claws.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Grind it up.
They
break it up.
Yep, okay. Yep.
And then it goes through a grinder.
Yeah.
Literally goes through... Nice.
A muffin monster.
And it's just you wouldn't even see it at the time.
Yeah.
If you look at the water in the sewer line, you may never see any of it.
Well, we have videos of the sewer line if you'd like to really look.
I'm telling you, we should put out all this for people. Let's move on. Council Member Mocker,
if
Public Works.
If it's not pornography, I don't look.
All right. Let's see what Greg's been up to here. We gave you a list. We replaced some street signs up on North Valley. The truck went in for an oil change. Greg did his monthly inspection on three buildings. And they're going to get some signs for the cul-de-sac down by the wastewater treatment plant because the hunters are parking down there and walking
in.
They
always have.
There's not enough room for the trucks that are going into the plant to make their turn, so they want to do that.
The hunters can park on the street as opposed to the circle there.
And that's it.
Okay.
We're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Council Member Hurston.
Okay.
Community Development, Code Enforcement.
Right. Okay. I wanted to give a bit of a background on the amphitheater restoration project that we're doing. Our first meeting was on November 1st, which I did report at the 21st of November meeting, which was basically we were trying to orient the committee to the expectations of the grant proposal, and we began our discussion on the objectives that we wanted to include, you know, in this project. The committee members, there are three from the council, and then we had Bert Allentuck, the original designer, and representatives from the Fund for Roosevelt, Planning Board, Environmental Commission, Roosevelt Arts Project, the school board, and a spokesperson for the Memorial Head on the committee. Okay, so it's about 8 to 10 of us that are there. All right, Gail Hutton, as one of the representatives for the Fund for Roosevelt, she's also on the Monmouth County Open Space Fund Acquisition Office, asked what the commitment the council has for this project, since being specific on the funding will be necessary for procuring bids on this project. Successful applications for these development projects lean heavily on professional designs and concept plans with timelines that meet the objectives and the attainment of the grant proposal goals. So once we had that meeting, Alan Malik offered to distill the intent of the committee in a request for proposal, an RFP, to be sent out to landscape architectural firms. A draft of this document was discussed in the meeting on November 30th, and some modifications were suggested as we further discussed the objectives. We prepared an initial timeline in this meeting, and one of the objectives was that we still needed a not-to-exceed amount for this project. This would be an informal agreement to allow us to move ahead with the project, which has a tight deadline. In fact, once we finished that meeting, we talked informally after and decided to schedule another meeting because our timeline was going to be extended too long to allow any of the landscape designers to finish their project and for us to be done, you know, on time. So that is why we're meeting on the 14th of December to tighten up, you know, what that is and try to get not just the draft but the final request for proposals that can be sent out, you know, to architects. Okay, so this informal agreement allows us to move ahead, you know, with the project. It does not mean that all of the money will be spent, but it's to allow for designs that can be brought in for us to evaluate using this not to exceed amount. So it gives us an additional chance to evaluate the amount of dollars that would be spent. But we don't want to have to keep coming back. We want an overall number that we can use for the project. Okay. This not-to-exceed number also defines the grant that we'll apply for, and this grant will provide 50% of the funding for this project. This number does not include soft costs, such as the engineering, surveys, permits, administration, and in-kind services. But fortunately, sort of behind the scenes and what was going on, the Fund for Roosevelt has voted to fund up to $50,000 for a contract with a landscape architect to prepare designs and construction documents and the construction cost estimate. There may be additional funding, but the commitment or this informal agreement of the council is necessary for the next discussion on funding for the Fund for Roosevelt and for our collaboration with them to work on more funding. This collaboration will require the council to have a project agreement or memorandum of understanding, which I believe Mike also has talked with Greg, you know, that this is something we're going to need to have coming pretty quickly. Since the next committee meeting of our committee is December 14th, we agreed to bring this issue to the council at this meeting, knowing that we need a way to put what we're asking into a format that is understandable for the council to make a commitment to this project. So since our last meeting, Mike and I have talked with George Lang, the CFO, for the funding and what it may mean. And so I'll turn it over to Mike to talk about what we talked about with George Lang and to put it into context.
Yeah, just to get an overall view of what we're trying to do here. As we all know, the amphitheater's in bad condition. If you've gone out there, you've seen the bricks crumbling on the actual seating. There's really poor lighting out there. There's no guardrails. It really hasn't been addressed and attended to, and it's falling apart. And I know we've tried to go out for other grants. I know Peggy worked hard on it with Carmella, and we went out. And we went out and tried to get some other grants. We just didn't qualify for those. But the grantor, in this case, has approached us and said, why don't you apply for this? Is from the grantor. Why don't you apply for this? We think you have a really good chance of getting it. So we were like, free money? 50% of the cost of something that we need to do anyhow because the thing is falling apart. So
also, she had said that we are the only town in Monmouth County that had never applied.
Right.
We weren't aware of.
So they want us to apply for this grant, which makes us very hopeful that we could get it. It would cover up to 50% of the costs, not the soft costs, and Connie went over that, not the engineering costs. But then the Fund for Roosevelt said, we'll take care of all the engineering costs, up to $50,000. So if you have to get a landscape architect, you have to get design people to work on that, the Fund for Roosevelt, another partner of ours, says that we'll pay that cost, and we may even pay more after that, depending on how much money we have, and we have to meet again on that. So we have two really good chances here for partners. One will pay 50% of our cost, and the other is going to, Fund for Roosevelt, the nonprofit, is going to pay up to $50,000 for design and engineering and all those soft costs. That means that we'd have to pay probably less than 50% of the cost. However, the catch is the grant. In the grant criteria, it says you have to put up all of the cost up front, or at least a commitment to pay for all of it up front. And then we'll reimburse you for the 50%.
I wasn't sure if you were aware of that. Yeah. I was not. Kathleen knew it, so I was going to bring it up.
Yeah. So what our thinking is we have a rare opportunity with two partners. One is a county grant and the Fund for Roosevelt to reduce the cost to less than 50% of what it would cost us to make those repairs if we did it ourselves. And we have grant money available, and somebody who's saying, apply for this grant. We think, we really would like it if you applied for it. We have money. And the county has money. They have a fair amount of money in the program. A lot of other municipalities have successfully, every year, chipped away at improvements by using this grant money and using this program. So we're being asked to do it. And we also have a time where there's still historically low interest rates. When I called George Lang, our CFO, just to say, what are the bond rates now? And he said, for municipalities, they're still 3 or 3.5%. But they're likely to go up. But still, that's still pretty cheap, historically. Yeah. If you look at what rates were, and I know when I first bought my house, I mortgaged it was like 12 5/8. It was horrible. So we tried to run some cost estimates. We asked George Lang about, well, what would this, if we financed $250,000 in terms of a bond? And the bond notes, you have to remember, are kind of like home equity loans. It's a line of credit. You don't have to use all of that amount that you go out for in a bond. So if we went out for a $250,000 bond, and we're trying to look at about a 15-year usability, 15-year term, because it's not hard stuff like sewer lines and stuff that last a long time, 30, 40 years. These are improvements that would have a shorter life, so the term would be shorter, probably something like 10 or 15 years. And we ran it at around 3%. It would cost the average homeowner around $30 to $45 per year in terms of possible tax increase. Looks like it's closer to 30 per year. So
if you don't use, you can return.
This is right. And if the cost is further deferred, if we get private donors to say, we would really like to put money into a fund for this project and maybe have a brick or a plaque saying that we would like to donate to this, the Fund for Roosevelt said, we'll gladly go out and try to do a fundraising kind of campaign, too, to try to get the costs even further deferred. So it seems like a good opportunity for us to do this, but we will need some sort of commitment. The Fund for Roosevelt committed on their end of it. We need to make a commitment possibly to fund up to, not to exceed, $250,000. We think we would use maybe less than half of that, but we want a commitment to fund $250,000.
What I'm saying is, if we return, if we took a bond for $250,000,
yeah,
and we only use $150,000, then $100,000 we can return.
Well, you're not getting the money. It's just you're authorizing the debt.
Right, but it's,
yeah,
a,
yeah,
it's, an
right.
It's an escrow.
Yeah, yeah, it's not used. It's just not used.
But you could liquidate the escrow not to lower your payments.
That's right, yeah. So we're looking at it as a really good opportunity, but we're going to need a commitment probably by the 20th, which is our next meeting next week. Next Monday?
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Yeah, next Tuesday we would need some sort of commitment to that extent to be able to meet our timelines with the grant that we're applying for. All of this is to try to get the grant and to try to get it in by the September deadline of this next year. We have proposals that are going to have to go out for architects and designers.
Don't we have an architect in town?
Who?
Bert or Tim?
Tim.
Bert or Tim?
No, I mean a landscape
architect.
Landscape.
Oh, yeah, she's going to be involved.
Yeah,
I don't know if she will actually.
K. John Alder.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll just be a consultant or.
Yeah, she doesn't have the license right now to be able to do that.
She doesn't have a license.
No.
No, but she could help us.
Yeah,
she
I think she's
us.
Willing. She's willing to be involved.
Yeah.
What did she do wrong?
On a question,
I think it's called retirement.
If we approve $250,000, that's kind of the bulk of it, and then it's possible that half would be covered by the county. It's possible that some would be covered by Fund for Roosevelt. So that's a large amount, but it's going to go down because of the other commitments.
Right.
Correct.
Right. We have a couple of really good partners here who may even, there may even be more money available for that. Also, the county right now has a capped at $250,000 grant. But Gail said, look, we think in the new year we may raise it to $500,000, the grant money. And this would enable us to cover 50% of, if it went up to $500,000, the $250,000 bond commitment.
Yeah, really.
It would be nice.
Spring season's going to come.
Really nice.
Well, there's a lot of landscaping, taking down trees. There's that old electrical shack in the back.
No, we're hoping Springsteen comes.
It looks a little small.
Yeah.
That would be a nice intimate venue for Bruce.
Well, our grand opening. I think the dead are dead.
Mike, is it a matching grant? So if you say you're putting in $250,000, and the county puts in $250,000, you have to lay out that $500 first before you'd get your money.
I believe that that's the way it works.
I don't think all of it, but I think that we will talk with Gail at our next meeting as to what kind of timing, is in that, so that we can report that.
They don't give it to you until you close out the project.
Is that right?
Yeah. So they give it to you, and you have a grant report letter and a grant agreement that gives you a certain amount of time to complete the work. And then there's a whole list of documents that they require you, including conservation easements, proving it's on the Rossi, and all sorts of stuff like that. It's not particularly difficult. They usually have out of vice calls, means for attorney when they're all done, and we execute all the final grant closeout information. They get approved from the engineers that means for project manager to pay on the scope of the project. Then it was all done, and then they pay your money back.
So what kind of timing would you expect from the start of the project? A year to have it completed? That we would have the money out there.
So I mean,
so let's say we start it.
I mean, that depends on what you're going to do.
Right.
Start of construction, end of construction.
I can't believe that would be more than a year.
What do you mean for them to pay you the money?
No. For them to build what's over there, for them to come over and do that, for us to have the money out.
It's masonry and tree work. It's landscaping and trees. Yeah. It's masonry and landscaping.
It's rehab.
Electric.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, even if it was $500,000, you're talking about a year.
Double
at most.
Double the time.
that it would then be back, we'd get our money for the other part of it if it turns out to be the $250. Yeah. So I don't think we have to be afraid of that number.
No, but no,
as
we
talk
about
that's just a process.
It could be right. A year to 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
From plans to as built.
Correct. Well, plans, we're going to try to cover that.
Yeah, that's
time
is
get
not
there.
A consideration or any
no,
reason
it's
not to do it.
When they start,
no,
right.
Just, this is how it works. But yeah. I mean, in the ordinary course, yeah, you have 18 months, yeah. You get the money back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, that's not a reason not to do it by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, we need to commit at some point, which is what we would
by
do.
By Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Well,
Mike
next
Tuesday.
Next, so you're going to
meet?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, we're meeting on the 14th. You see, for us not to commit, and the Fund for Roosevelt, we're asking to commit even further funds than the $50,000,
right.
We have to commit to the project,
right.
That's what I was saying, and not to exceed. It doesn't mean we're going to spend it all,
right.
Because we get to go in and look at what the designs are and what do we want to do, and if we don't like the amount for whatever, we can say, can you do this,
right.
And cut back, but at least we get the concept of what we want.
Right.
Yeah.
So now between Mike and Greg, when does the council have to say go for it?
So
Tuesday.
Next
meeting.
You take it.
So, yeah, if you want to get it going right away. So Mike already sent over an RFP.
It
was already revised and done by people. It's in your mailbox, but
okay.
Since I'll do a council report, I usually read whatever people sent me today.
Okay.
And so long story short, I mean, this is perfect. It basically describes the scope of work you want the landscape architect to scope out. And I mean, it's all right here.
Yeah.
This is perfectly fine.
Is that
yeah.
Allen's?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sent to
well,
Allen's?
Just
yeah.
Notice. No, that's a draft because he made some changes to it, and
okay.
So in this meeting we'll have the final. But it's probably 90 to 95% there.
Yeah, and in terms
so
of like the
you.
Form and like how you do it, and this is
yeah.
This is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I think you can advertise this. I mean, I think you have to ask for business registration. There's a couple of technical requirements that we can plug in there, but other than which I already have in form. Probably Kathleen and I did it 5 years ago, so we use the same ones.
Okay.
But like this is good to go.
All right. So
you guys could authorize this on the 20th and advertise it right away.
Okay.
So next Tuesday we'll have a resolution to commit to this.
A resolution to authorize the advertisement of the RFP. I mean, if you guys
yes.
Are, you guys
yeah.
Are
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So we
but
could just
I think
send
they
you
want a dollar amount for the. If I'm getting this correctly, like
what the council,
so are you willing
right.
To go up to $250?
$250, yeah.
And if you don't get the matching grant, you're willing to go $500?
You don't have to do that
no,
yet
until the
okay.
So the first step is the grant requirements require you to put a specific specs and scope
yes.
What you're going to
yes.
Do with a cost estimate.
Yes.
This RFP will obtain you the person that's able to do that. That's going to cost money, obviously, which the Fund for Roosevelt has put
yes.
Together.
Correct.
I think simultaneously with this, you can put together, now this is just legalities, because we'll talk about George in just a second. We'll just put together a project agreement that says they're willing to fund this public works project up to $50,000. And then the only thing I need for that project agreement, or project, you know, or maybe a shared services agreement for a local unit, but as a charitable organization, it's a project agreement, I think, is the term. Good enough. The mechanism by which we're going to do that. So it might say that we, you know, the borough is going to take on the responsibility. Like, so for example, we're going to contract. This RFP is really for the borough to contract.
We'll get a contractor. We'll get a subcontractor.
With a contractor.
Right.
So if the funder for Roosevelt is going to pay, I don't know how George wants to handle that. So the funder for Roosevelt pays us the money upon presentation of invoices. Like, we're doing another local unit. Like, say we were doing this with Millstone. It would say the borough of Roosevelt will pay the project costs as Millstone will do the contracting, and we'll pay you upon presentation of invoices. Well, we would actually pay Millstone, and then Millstone would pay the contractor. So the only thing that's missing from this in terms of what you guys have laid out for the project agreement is how George wants to handle the money. If they just want to pay the contractor directly, if he's okay with that, I just don't know how he wants to account for it. That's not my department. Sense.
Well, I think
legally what you set up is perfect.
Yeah, I think the Fund for Roosevelt wants quite a bit of say in this. It's a collaboration with us.
Okay.
And is that how, that's what needs to be written. So I think in our meeting we can talk a little bit more because they're trying to draft something, you know, right now. So on the 14th we can pass something else on to you.
Okay.
To see what you think about it and anything that we have to
I mean,
change
with them paying and us giving no consideration, I'm going to be fine with it.
Yeah. Right.
But the stumbling block will be, how does George want to handle the money?
Right.
So the project agreement, whatever they want to do, I mean, they're paying, you know, obviously they're going to have a lot of say in it and stuff like that. That's, you know, that's why they're paying. But the question is who are they paying? Are they going to pay the borough? Mm-hmm. And we're going to put it in a, you guys need a resolution to dedicate a fund by, like, dedicated by rider, so that that's the fund that they pay into, and then it goes out the other side, which we can do that. We have to pay directly. We can, I don't know if you want to take it in the capital reserve account, make it part of the project cost. But there's different ways to account for the money, and that's George's department to keep us on the up and up with the state. So that's the only thing that you guys have laid out for me that I can't, like, just sit here and do for you. That's the only, when we get on the phone with George and we'll figure it out, once we have that project agreement,
okay,
we can definitely do that as well. I'm at my office every day, pretty much.
So we can contact George and have him figure out how it's going to,
yes,
how the money's going to flow.
That's the money that's flowing for this $50,000.
Right.
But if there's more that's coming, and if we are going to try to raise funds, we're trying to decide, is it, do they want that to be the charitable organization that receives the money that we go out for, and they have it for this project, and then they also pass that over, rather than it coming to the borough. I mean, I think people would just feel more comfortable paying a charitable organization. So as part of this, you know, we want that in this type of agreement too. Is that a separate agreement, or can it be part of this one?
That's dependent. I think I would do that next. I think that we would just deal with the soft cost now, because you're just getting it off the ground, right? There's no guarantee you get the grant. It's dependent upon a third party. You know, the county, the Swimming River Reservoir could blow up again, and there might not be any money in the grant. It's fun for a while. You know, so I would just go step by step. I mean, the first step is pay the soft cost to get your specs. You clearly have all the grant. I can see the grant requirements that you already have in the RFP that you guys are putting together, cost proposal, all that sort of stuff. So you guys clearly are putting together an application. And then once you make that application and then it's awarded, you'll have a certain amount of time to undertake the project subject to extensions, just like you do with the NGDOT grants. If you guys have been doing that for over years. And then that's when we would figure out what kind of bond you need, get the bond council involved. We would get a more comprehensive project agreement, because then you have a real idea. Like, let's say you get the grant. Let's say you get the grant award. Let's say it's a $300,000 project, and you get the grant award for $125,000. Well, now you got bigger questions to ask on the cost proposal and otherwise, right? So, you know, I would wait until that point to go, you know, more deeply into it. But the as far as I can tell, in terms of what the group you guys have assembled, what you've been doing, the only stumbling block I see between now and 9 days or 8 days from now is how George wants to handle the money. Because the rest of it I can just do from you from my computer, and we can have it on the agenda for next week.
In any case, we're looking at
$250,000. Yeah.
Aren't we playing a little Russian roulette here?
Yes, just call them.
God forbid.
Yeah, if you could do that.
Put out all that money.
What, Lou?
Yes. We're supposed, we have to put out, we have to get the money, have the money available before the grant is given to us.
Right.
That's what I was told.
You need the money to pay the landscape architect before the grant's given to you. But the landscape architect putting their specs, submitting to the county, and then they're going to come back and tell you how much money they gave you. They may fund all your, half your project, they may fund all of it.
Just the landscape architect, nobody else.
We're just talking about the soft cost.
I had the impression that we had to have all the money for the entire project.
So what will happen after you get the grant award is, let's just say it works out great. You guys got a $150,000 project. They give you $75,000. It's going to be a matching grant. You're going to put in $75,000. Everything matches up perfectly. Now that $150,000 is going to have to be bonded here. You're going to have to pass a bond or maybe a down payment of
$30,000. Okay, I understand. That's not what I understood.
Then once you have that money available, then you're going to bid the project. So now you have someone design it. Now you're going to call the actual construction company, and they're going to give you bids. And let's just say that works out awesome, and it comes in right, and everyone bids 147, 146. It's right around the number. We're all good to go. We're within the bond amount and everything that we bonded and the cost estimate. Then they're going to build it, and the borough is going to pay them to build it. And the project manager or engineer who's ever in charge of supervising that is going to have all the closeout documents, I'm going to pull the deeds and the title search, and we're going to submit
this
big, long list of final documents that shows it was built. We did what you said we were going to do. We did it on the land we told you we were going to do it on. And they will give us, in turn, conservation easements to record against the property that we'll have to approve. And you put that whole package of documents together, You send that to the county, and they send you $75,000 in that example. And then George gets a check. He puts it wherever you guys want to allocate it. I think it's the capital reserve fund to pay the bond off that you have.
Right.
Whatever you guys choose to do. But that's the whole process from beginning to end.
I wish it could go that fast as you just explained it.
It's not, it depends. It really depends on the construction. Right?
Is this going to be done in phases?
Not really. Not unless they really want to go for the covering over it.
Right.
That I think is.
So what is the landscape architect? You're repairing.
Redesigning a little bit of it, some of it.
Well,
there's a lot of landscaping.
Could be other materials.
It's to beautify it, really.
It's to make it going to be other, and you have to label your project phase one.
Right.
So they know that there's going to be a phase.
At this point, we're just not expecting that.
You're not?
Yeah.
No.
At this point.
If I could recommend something,
shade a hard covering on an amphitheater like that costs a fortune.
Right. Yeah.
Especially for the construction and safety and what have you.
Right.
But shade sails are just poles with fabric that you can take down at your leisure. We use them at our beach instead of having the whole thing covered over in Aberdeen. We have shade sails, so it's basically just poles in the ground. It's a huge piece of fabric. It's kind of waterproof, but not completely.
And I say, can you use it if it's inclement or a little bit of rain?
It covers the picnic table area and stuff like that, because the pavilion was a lot more money.
Yeah.
They're predominantly for shade, because if it's raining, people aren't really going to come to an outdoor event anyway, whether you have cover, it's not the jet ski. sun is a big factor to get people to come out for events like that.
Even our July 4th party, July 4th, this was the first year it wasn't. Most July 4ths are brutally hot, and so we don't get the senior population coming because there's no. There's some trees. Some of them will sit under trees, but a lot of people stay.
But the shade sails are a really cost-effective solution to that.
And they're not, put up and take down.
Well, there's not all kinds of construction requirements.
Okay.
Ah,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of trees.
You stretch them, and you lock them down. Mm-hmm. And then
okay.
Yeah, if you have the dome house up on Eleanor.
Uh-huh.
They have a shade sail set up behind the house over their patio.
At Kim's house? Kim and Ray? Rosso. Yeah, I'll have to look.
Yeah, it's the only dome up there.
Yeah. I'll have to look.
Yeah, in the backyard, you can see.
We take them in when there's storms, and we take them in the winter.
Yep.
But otherwise, they're out there pretty much all summer, unless a hurricane's coming or a serious tropical storm. They're out there. They're very durable.
And you're calling it a shade
sail?
S-A-I-L.
You don't want something blocking the head, though.
No, that's why we're getting a designer.
Right.
This is just by back of the envelope.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
No.
That's one of the objectives that people have raised, that they would like to have that. But that's why we also said when we get the design back, we can cut out certain portions of it if we don't feel that's going to fly.
Right. We're looking
at an item like cost estimate, too.
Exactly. Get one for $46.99 on Amazon.
Yeah, they're not expensive. I mean, the big one, you want to put it in the semi, so you're talking about
We're looking to keep the costs down and also have low maintenance. So we'll be talking to the designers saying, whatever you do, make sure it's low maintenance because we don't want to spend a lot of money after it's built either, maintaining it and all of that. So
usually
I think
low maintenance things are more expensive.
Sometimes, but in the long run, it'll save you
money. Oh, in the long run, it pays off, sure.
So in terms of my preparing you for the next step, this RFP, it says last revised yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is this the most recent one?
That's the most recent one.
Do you want me to start putting this in
before? There's
going to be more revisions on Wednesday.
Let us talk on the 14th, and then we can send that over
we'll send other things from that meeting.
Okay.
If they have
a draft project agreement, we'll send that over. In the meantime, I'll call George.
Okay.
And figure out how he would want to hand. This is not, it's not unorthodox, but it's not necessarily
everyday.
Yeah, it's not like we're just borrowing the money in the back, putting it into it.
Right.
So let me talk to George and figure out let me set that up. you guys go back on the 14th and do this RFP, finish that up, and
yep.
your project agreement.
Right.
And then we'll try to square them all up for the 28th.
Okay, good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and when we get to the financing place with this whole project and all, which is down the line a ways after we figure out how we're going to handle the soft costs and all, George said you can do it in a lot of different ways. You can do a ban, which is really a short-term kind of loan, and you can continually renew the ban, and then eventually you can pay it off with a bond if you wanted to. So there's a number of ways to handle it. It's very... we do this all the time with things and do short-term instruments, bans, and then, you know, and eventually it gets dumped into a bond sometime down the line.
I think he knows pretty well. He's pretty smart about
it. He knows what he's doing.
Those are the kind of distinctions that if there's a project agreement, who's paying what, that's exactly what I need to know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm calling.
So, Greg, when you talk with George, too, you work that out, will you write down a few things of...
Yeah, I can write you about how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then that'll also assist you in the project.
Okay. So. Yeah. Some members of the school board are excited about the idea about being able to use that amphitheater area again because it's going to be safe after if we do the project. I think it'll get a lot of use. It's in a key location. It's right there next to the school and the school grounds. It's public parkland, essentially. And... I'm kind of psyched about it because I think it would be a great, it's an area, it's something that we have that we want to improve upon, and this is what this council has done for this administration through the last few years. We've looked at things, we've repaired what we already have, the infrastructure, and tried to keep it in good shape. So this makes sense to continue along that route, and we have partners. So I think it could be a good thing.
And we want the next 60 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a source of pride and it's historic for everyone in town. But you know how you get blind, like house blindness? I mean, we know it's bad, but we still have lovely events there. But then you get there and you're like, oh, it's really gross. It's just so dilapidated that it's
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think they should put checkerboards on the benches.
That's not a bad idea.
I think that's
not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
There's just a few other things under finance, too, that if I could find the rest of my finance report. But the funding for North Valley, that's great on a number of levels. We got the DOT grant for $219,420. Additionally, it's good news that we don't need to replace the water and sewer lines,
yes.
Which means that, you know, we have $219,000 for road work and grading and all of that. And so we may not need a lot of money of our own money to do further work in that area. And Carmella has said we can limit the scope of milling and paving if we want to reduce our share further. She has some ideas about how to do that.
We're going to do the drainage there also.
It's also going to address the stormwater drainage problems that we've had in the homeowner complaints here too. So it's really a good thing. So also,
I was going to address that for a moment. May I?
Yeah, please.
I'm a little concerned about that, the language in it. I believe we could reduce the cost of living by limiting the scope of a milling and paving. What is she talking about? Is that going on the cheap so that it falls apart 6 months later?
I don't really know.
I would really like to know
that.
What that means.
Yeah, I'd like to know, too.
Sometimes I think they'll grind down 4 inches, sometimes they'll ground down 6, sometimes they'll go down to dirt. Steve, I guess there's different ways of milling and paving.
Yeah, well, provided you have a decent base to the road. And they did the same thing this past year on Farm Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
It really just took down 2 inches.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Although there are some patches in that road up towards the triangle. The job is going to extend up that far. The pavement's failing along that wooded section. The curb is sunk, and so that's going to need a little bit more attention
than just the 2 inches mill and pave. Yeah, on North Valley up towards the triangle.
Okay.
On the east side by the,
past
the houses.
Yeah. Where the head wall is.
Where the head wall is, yeah. Yeah. That pavement's failing there because, well, the fill was settling.
Yeah.
So that needs some attention. Hopefully we can get that done in this. But milling and paving is fairly cheap.
And this project won't be for another couple of years. I mean,
yeah,
we're
understand.
Just in
yeah,
pause. But that's a good point. We ought to ask her about our ideas about that.
Mm-hmm. But the homeowners will be really pleased when they hear.
Yeah, yeah, they will. Who wants to give them the good news? Or you want to wait on that? You want to wait till the next, right before the next election?
That's right.
Well, we also know that there's PVC for water, and it's not HD, but it's PVC, and the sewer system is PVC also. So that when they put the houses in on North Valley,
is it?
It's already PVC now, so we don't have to do it.
I'm surprised because they went up in like 70s,
I think.
No. Around 84, 85.
Yeah, and that would have made PVC and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Well, as long as it says.
Anna and I and Steve will get involved also. We have a large map of the roads in Roosevelt. And we're going to map out when they got repaved, when the water mains got replaced, when the sewer mains got replaced.
It's all documented. You just have to collate it.
Yeah, we're going to put it all in one spot, so you just look at one map and you know what's going on. And it's documented kind of spottedly.
Well.
And there's only one other item under finance, and that's the water treatment plant. Water treatment plant? Yeah, water treatment. John requested a leak detection survey. Do you want to cover the reason for that?
I don't know.
A minimal cost. It's $2,400.
Yeah, it's low.
But he would know because there's so much water that goes out. And so much water that reaches the sewer plant.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to know because you subtract the two from each other and you know about infiltration into the sewer plant.
And the DEP always wants to know where the missing water is.
Exactly.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. They want to know. Water in, water out.
Where
are the leaks?
Melts.
We're putting water, we're putting chemicals in it. It's a lot of work. So we want to make sure it all just goes to the clients and not to the deer and the antelope.
So that's all I have under finance, which is plenty. But
do we know with that leak detection, is that $2,400? It's the letter sounded like it was for the whole town. That sounds dirt cheap.
The whole system, I thought he said.
Yeah,
it does sound dirt cheap. So I don't know what he means.
Say the whole system.
I don't know.
He said an email today.
Are
they going to identify leaks?
They can identify by pressurizing the pipes and
that's what they're going to do?
I guess.
Well,
he's
waiting for our approval because it'll be $2,400.
What's that?
He's waiting for our approval because it'll be $2,400.
What are they going to do exactly?
Detect leaks.
Detect
for the whole system.
Exactly tell us where the leaks are?
Yeah.
Leak detection.
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is it's a sonic test. It's almost like, a stethoscope. They listen for vibrations in the ground.
You can hear it. He had a problem in Allentown.
They did that.
Water will come.
Hundreds of thousands of gallons going somewhere. And they had to go with their...
With the sonic thing, the headphones on.
And they found it. Somebody had moved to Florida. The basement was flooded out.
52 South Main Street.
Yeah.
It was a big utility bill.
One of those big houses. One of those great big houses.
No, that's north.
Not
south. And it was
storefront.
I was on the board of attorney for Allentown, so that was a. we had. They were afraid we were going to be able to put fires out.
Wow.
Because we went away, and the service pipe in the basement broke on both sides of the meter and filled the. Couldn't figure out where the water was, but the sump pump was then pumping it into the storm drains, and then finally they found it running.
That's a problem too.
That's
a nightmare. That's not a problem. That's a nightmare.
Floating. It was a bad situation.
Hey, she got billed for it too, right?
Oh yeah.
Big
Did her insurance cover it?
No, she didn't. No, it did not. And it was a big
What kind of bill is that?
It was like a $16,000 bill.
A lot of water.
It was a tremendous amount of water, and she had one of the older service pipes that was bigger. Yeah. She was draining the water tower.
Oh, my God.
John Holden started getting the alert because the water level was too low, and he came all the way over, and they had the entire council. You know, it's a small town like this, so it's all hands on deck, and there are three DBW employees. They had 15 people out in the town looking for water.
Yeah.
Like they thought it was broken in the woods someplace. Like there was a big main break in the woods that they couldn't find.
Yeah.
But no, it was.
How did they find it?
She had a sump pump that was pumping water at an incredible rate into the storm drain, because it's connected to the storm drain. And so they basically heard the water running in one of the storm drains,
right.
And they just kept following it until the sound stopped from grate to grate. And then they went past, and they're like, well, it's got to be between here and there. They figured, then they went up to the house, and the water was coming out of the basement and stuff.
Florida.
It was going for a number of days before it drained. It was, the water tower, the wells were not putting water into the tower as fast as it was draining out. Then during the day when people were using water, it would drain it below the level that it's supposed to be at, and that's a fire hazard. So that would be the alert started going off.
Frozen,
blew up in the basement. Like not like in one spot, like the whole thing just
collapsed.
Yeah.
Holy.
And then the solution's simple. John had to turn it off from the street.
Mm-hmm. So that's why when people leave town, they let Anna know, and she'll let John know, and he'll go and shut the valve. The street
yeah.
There's an ordinance in Allentown now. Yeah.
Okay. Also, we should all realize that when we repave the street, we redo the water.
Should do the stop cost. Yeah.
The stop. So instead of $15 a pump every time these old valves don't work, the whole town is going to have new valves pretty soon.
Yep.
So that will be a savings on the water sewer side also. Mm-hmm. And that we have Carmilla.
We did it on an emergent basis in Allentown.
Yeah, we do.
So we went around and evaluated everyone that wouldn't turn off. Because luckily that one turned off, but she knew there were others in town that wouldn't turn off turn off the whole main.
Exactly.
So then we did an emergent repair of all of those in the town over the course of 6 months.
So we're working through all the valves in town here pretty soon.
Less water. That'll make me sleep better at night. You won't have to call me in the middle of the night like John did.
Yeah.
Hey,
Greg.
It's 11:30 here. What's going on? Something bad must be happening. Well, we found where the water's going. Okay.
So don't we do that when we pave?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We do it when we pave now, so all of Farm Lane has new valves.
Yes.
Everywhere we pave and put water lines in.
I'm sure everywhere Carmella is in charge of paving.
Not so much paving, but when we're working on the water mains.
Yeah.
We have to, when we do the water mains, we replace the valves.
Yeah.
And that had started happening on Homestead. You know, we did all the valves there when we did the water. So everything since then, we've changed the valves. Moving right along. Pretty soon we're going to have
pristine streets.
Well, 80-90% of the water
will be all time.
Pretty soon we'll have a lower maintenance cost.
Before we move
on to administration, can I add something to my report? I just wanted to let you know that Steve Mocker has volunteered to survey our 200 by 200 plot of the amphitheater so that all of us know exactly where
it starts and ends,
as we're doing this project.
That's right.
So he's in the process of doing that. Now.
She did that just to light a candle.
To make sure it's in the public record and you're committed to it.
Now I can't back out.
Official, right?
Are we going to have a financial closeout on the 20th, on Tuesday? We'll have all the transfers and all that. Do you know?
Oh, yes, if there is going to be one. Anna and George are in the process of reviewing.
So there's a legal description in the lease with the school district?
Awful.
Oh, you already have it?
Yeah.
I was saying, it's
horrible. Whoever wrote it doesn't know how to write a description.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it says either, but I want to know.
We got to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay.
And we lease that for a dollar a year or something like that?
No, I think it's 99.
It's 99-year lease, right? 99-year lease.
Nominal consideration for the memorial.
So we can do improvements and feel good about it.
Well, we own the property. Mm. We lease it to them.
Yes.
The school owns it? The government owns the school?
No, we own that
we
property.
We own the property the amphitheater's on, and we lease it to the school lease.
Okay.
For the purpose, they're the ones that put up the memorial. The Board of Education actually put up the FDR memorial.
Okay.
And so there's a lease agreement for that.
Okay. I thought we leased it from the school. I thought.
No, it's the opposite.
It's our property.
Okay. But I believe they maintain it.
We may need a copy of that agreement for...
I was asking, you want me to send that to you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
It might be part of the grant. I think the grant would want to know who controls that property.
Yeah.
I think it's for 25 years they wanted to go out.
The lease agreement? You certified a copy.
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
So...
I have it. I have it.
Send it to Mike and you.
Okay.
We it's a very poor reading.
It's awful. Yes.
But we pay for... our landscaper to mow that area.
Oh, yeah.
We've, we do all the costs involved, raking, whatever.
So the borough owns then all around it as well as other kind of parklands. If we wanted to do anything further, you could still do it, right?
It's our land.
We pay the electricity also in the shed there.
Yeah.
The electric shed. Yeah.
Okay. Council Member Esikoff, administration. Good. That's what I want to hear.
Nothing to report.
Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Well, for health and safety, I contacted both Manalapan and Hightstown about our crossing guard problem. I first called the police at Manalapan. They forwarded me to a gentleman who was in charge of general road crews, not necessarily crossing guards, and he wasn't sure that he could help me, but he was going to look into it and get back to me. He hasn't yet. He also suggested I call the mayor's office, which I did.
In Manalapan?
Yeah.
Oh, Susan Cohen, I know her.
Okay, I spoke to somebody in administration there, right. And they didn't think that they would have anybody, but
State police told me was that Manalapan uses these Class 3 officers, and that
I did mention that, but
that either we could do a shared services agreement with them or hire Class 3 separately on our own.
Right. I'm waiting for a call back from Manalapan. Hightstown, I called, I talked to the mayor's office there, somebody in administration, Dimitri, I don't have his last name. He said they're having the same problem that we are. They've actually raised their rates and what they pay, and they can't find anybody.
Well, so the state police told me that the Class 3 officers are paid about $31 an hour.
Right.
But
So Hightstown said we can't. I'm sorry,
so maybe you could just look into Class 3 officers separate from out of town.
But who would I contact?
One of our problems is
a broken up day.
Yeah, it's a split day.
Yeah.
You know, they travel back and forth twice.
I'll do some more research.
I guess years ago, maybe non-working mothers, it was easy for them because they had to take their kids to school anywhere, pick them up. But, times are so different. Yeah, I mean,
I'll look into it further, but I'm hoping.
I'll also ask Susan.
That they call somebody somebody from an Alpen spoke. They have my name and number.
Yeah,
they're supposed to take it back to me.
I can text the mayor too and ask her if she knows how we would contact a Class 3 officer,
right.
Or how we get a list.
Yeah, right.
And because she's been very helpful to us,
okay.
To me since I met her. So.
Right. If you want to forward, if you want to get a name, if you want me to follow,
I'll
do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's all I have.
Okay. Where are we? Oh, well, reports of borough officials. Mike, did you want to say anything from environmental or?
Why don't we just wait till the next meeting? There's some things, but there's nothing clear.
Okay. Does anyone have, excuse me, I'm so allergic to the air in this feral hall. Does anyone have any unfinished business they'd like to?
It's unfinished but new business. We have water level rising down by the sewer plant, and we also have water level rising on North Valley.
Oh, guess what? For the first time, I walked my dog, and she started to pull, and I had no control because she's so strong, and I went with her. We were right by the creek, you know, right by, and I thought I saw like a possum, but then I got close. I was as close to this beaver as I am to Kathleen, because I think that my dog startled it, and so it kind of froze in place.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen the beavers before in a distance, but this time, and I did hear, I knew why she started to fall. I heard him chewing. I heard him chewing the tree.
Did you see the new chew over there?
Yeah. So then I went, you know, so all of a sudden there he was in front of me, and then there was a second one. Because finally, when I pulled back a little on my dog, and so he swam away, and then his partner joined him, and they swam away, and I'm like, oh, my God.
So, yeah, I took pictures today of at least a half a dozen trees.
I know. I heard it. You wouldn't think you'd hear a tree being gnawed on, but you can hear it clearly.
Every tree I have to remove. Do you know where this beaver is?
We'll call the beaver patrol.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's this beaver? I'll pay him.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't we have the beaver reliever or something?
So I called Mike Phillips, who is a New Jersey State Fish and Game.
Right.
And he sent the crew out to the sewer plant last year, and they walked the creek all the way up to the Assateague Lake. And they said that the beaver deceiver, which was installed some 4 or 5 years ago, was still working.
Or longer, even.
It was still working, but there was another dam that they disrupted that dam.
Yeah.
So I called him. I left a message for him.
What's his name? Mike
Phillips.
Phillips, yeah. I have his number here. And then I drove over to North Valley, and I saw,
I know.
You can see the new chew. You can see.
I feel like I'm in a children's book, where they show in a children's book the illustrations of what the tree looks like when the beavers, I mean, it was like crazy.
There's a lodge right there, too. Have you seen the lodge?
Oh, I tried to make reservations, but they were full.
It is. They're full of beavers, yeah.
Oh, my God. But
the water is also higher, because we walk about every day.
Yeah.
On Tamara, you know, right where the road is.
Right.
And there might be another one.
Past Bernard's house. There's
so much water there.
Yeah.
On Tamara, on the side of Jeb's house, kind of?
On that side.
That's what I just said, past Bernard.
Yeah, closer to the path.
Joe, but one of the residents, as I came away from just being astonished at what I had just seen. But one of the residents came out of Solar Village, and apparently she walks every day, and she told me, she said, the county was just here. This was a couple of weeks ago. So the county was just here, and she said, and they told me that the town's going to be responsible.
Mary Tullis contacted them. They're in charge of that bridge there, too.
The county's in charge of the bridge, so I called Anna called Steve. Steve is our highway guy. He called the bridge guys. They are talking to the county bridge engineer about it. I left a message for them today also. So now I'm waiting for people to get back.
I mean, is that a little overpass?
Yeah.
Yeah, the bike there.
But this woman, she lives at Solar Village, and she said, oh, the county told me your town's going to have to be responsible for this.
The state takes real, they're ambitious about the leaders. You're not supposed to do anything.
I know.
And so
they're protected.
We put the beaver deceivers in, but they also relocate the beavers.
But they love it here. They come right back. They've been relocated how many times, Mike, in the last...
A lot.
Over and over and over, and they find their way right back.
They like
the same beavers.
Well, it's their descendants then, their grandchildren. They go marking them. It's really nice there. Nobody will bother you.
Well, they should, so that we know.
Mike Phillips is New Jersey's. He's the boss.
Yeah.
And he sent people out, and they...
It's serious, because it's flooding so bad near my house that a lot of the trees are dying, and it's a pretty large area now.
Well, that's over east of North Valley.
Yeah, it's starting to look like that, over there. Well, so
that's what happened on North Valley.
Yeah, it's right next to my property.
It's good to complain about the sewer plant problem, because if the water level reaches the effluent coming out of the plant... then it'll back up. So they get a little more serious about that.
Also, we may not be able to do a project there if the water level is too high, because how can you put footings in? If you had to put an external structure out there, it would be a problem.
Yeah.
So it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, the state seems to be the one to deal with the beavers. How about up in Manalapan or wherever you are?
Aberdeen.
Allentown.
They have beaver problems?
They had a flooding all of Probasco and Poggy Drive down there by Indian Run.
What'd they do?
To be honest with you, I sat through like a 4-hour meeting of animal rights activists and beaver trappers, and I'm not entirely sure what the conclusion was. But the mayor of Allentown would definitely tell you if you called them. They dealt with it, and everyone was happy in the end. But
except the beavers.
No, I think they took them like down south or something. I think they trapped them, and they had to prove it was humane and all that sort of stuff.
Took them on a cruise.
But it wasn't easy. They had to get an outside person to come do it, because it's not animal control, it's wildlife.
It's New Jersey State Wildlife Fishing Game.
There's a guy who does it in the area, though.
Oh, a beaver catcher.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to say...
They trap beavers and kill... They trap beavers and kill bears.
I used to say...
The bear season is open again.
Yeah.
I just sent an email starting December 14th for like 4 or 5 days.
They closed it.
They killed 77 male bears.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Including cubs.
What?
Including cubs.
In where? The country?
In New Jersey.
Including 77
cubs?
Million?
No. 77 bears.
77 bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, including cubs.
I thought it said million. I'm like...
This is very interesting, if I may, for a moment. There's no reason to really kill these animals. They do what they do out west.
Sterilize
is they trap them, the males.
And sterilize them?
And they sterilize them. And eventually...
We'll call the population?
You have control. Complete control, because these guys can't do anything anymore. They do it on farms. If you watch these animal shows on television, veterinarian shows,
yeah.
Sometimes they're very interesting if you're an animal lover.
Right.
And the veterinarians are called out to big farms to sterilize the males because it's becoming under control. Not only that, they calm them down also a little bit.
They won't go to Planned Parenthood for condoms. So.
What?
It's the humane thing to do, but they make a lot of money from hunting.
They just want to walk their own record.
Yeah,
said they can't do it.
But you know, Lou, they make a lot of money from hunting licenses.
Fishing game is primarily.
They do what?
They make a good amount of money from hunting licenses. So
I think the Fish and Game Council
they
is
would
like
choose that over the humane method because they're making money.
It's about much hunting. Money that is worth killing 77 bears.
Yeah.
Not to me, but...
That's a slaughter.
Yeah. Well, do you know what they do with the bears here? Because they're in front of my house. They take them from here and they bring them to another part of the Assanpink.
All right.
Yeah.
Then they come back here.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They like the neighborhood.
Yeah, they like the neighborhood.
Really
well,
like
my neighbors
like the beavers.
honey boxes. For bees.
I have one in my house.
That huge one.
Yeah.
Huge. I always wanted to live in the country. Now I say, I wanted to live in the country, but I didn't want to live in the jungle. I mean, with all the development of millstone and everything, every animal comes here for a refuge because we're still undeveloped.
They hide from
and
the
we've invaded all their habitat. Mm-hmm. So now, it's like, I used to go out on my lawn, like late at night, I'd fill the bird feeders. Now I won't even go out because I never know what I'm going to run into. Bears and rabid raccoons and possum. They never used to come to our
houses.
And now they do because they're losing their habitat. And we have, I never saw a beaver. I've been here 48 years. Now I'm face to face with one a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it was wondrous in a way, but they're destroying our trees.
We don't have big herds of deer.
Where are they? I wondered that. Does anyone know? I was going to ask.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at a time.
I've seen.
Oh, that's small.
No, no. There's way less. There's really less. And less birds.
Years ago, I was sitting right back last year.
Oh, yeah.
The fire chief from Millstone told me that there was some, when there was a hurricane down south, it brought up a lot of bacteria here and killed thousands of deer.
And they like it here because
but I didn't know
we
were still affected by it.
If everybody's had those boom, 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 they're going to go.
Also, we have less birds, but that's because the whole bird
population.
Okay, let's. So, any other old business?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to new business. So, the first thing on the agenda is use of the Barrow Hall. A resident is requesting an event for First Friday, New Year's Eve traditions to be held January 6th from 6 to 8. It is open to the public. So, kind of like a New Year's party. Then I have two good things and one bad.
So we need to.
I'll make a motion. Accept it.
So can we just say? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's approved. All right. I have three things: two good, one not good. So Santa will be here again from the Millstone Fire Department. It's kind of late to send out a flyer, but apparently they will decide at their meeting tomorrow night. It's probably going to be this Saturday, but they don't have a time yet. So as soon as they know tomorrow night, they'll tell me, and Anna can send out a flyer pronto. Then I want to remind everyone that we're having a Christmas party here. Because our next meeting is Tuesday the 20th, we're going to have the party that day from 3 to 5:30. So I hope everyone comes.
From 3 to 5:30?
Yeah, and then you can have a little break and go home and come back at 7 for the meeting.
Take a nap.
All right. It's going to be a touchy subject. This past weekend, there was a wrap event, right? A photography exhibit. So I believe that they hung photographs from the ceiling, and they pretty much destroyed the ceiling. Nothing is supposed to be hung from the ceiling, only the tiles, nothing else. So as you can see, the clips are falling apart. It's sagging here. It's the whole ceiling. And it has to be professionally repaired. It's not something gray. But it's being...
Look over there.
What do you call it? Either the frame or the brackets are actually damaged.
It's the frames. It's not so much...
Well, what we have here is the original hung ceiling.
It's not original. Greg put this in a few years ago.
He put these covers on the original ceiling. Like right over your right shoulder there, up in the air, that is the plastic clip-on device that goes on to the original ceiling. More on this side, maybe.
Right, see.
Yeah, and they're impossible to get back on once they come off.
Well, he said it's going to have to be professionally either repaired or replaced. So I need to know...
Who's going to pay?
Who's going to pay the $300 deposit? I don't know how much it's going to cost.
That one has been like that for a while now.
Yeah, but that wasn't joke. It's all over.
Wherever, and they're all over.
Where were they hung, though?
They hung them right here. Right here in the center.
Nothing there. I see the clip there.
There wasn't anything that was over.
There was nothing over there. So that had to have been already done.
That might have been that way. But, it's the clip-ons that are not really a practical thing for this ceiling.
I mean, look,
it's all... It might be practical if you don't hang everything.
They wrapped it and hang anything over the piano. So I don't know what
A lot of this is done free.
This has already been here.
Well, that's the worst right there, where it's really sagging.
The worst is right there with the frame.
But see, Lou, if you were sitting here,
I see it really sad. There's a frame hanging out.
That's the plastic clip-on piece.
Get the cost. Talk to RAP, and maybe there's some kind of agreement.
I think they can tell you where they were hanging it. Where they were hanging it.
You mean the others?
Was Dave here for that?
Yes.
Can you ask him?
We were all here.
Show Anna? Show Greg
and Ben Johnson.
Or Anna.
Yeah,
Ben Johnson and...
Eric.
Eric Vole and Ben Johnson were responsible for that event. And we came down just to.
These clip-ons are real pain. I know.
Yeah, but if it's a case that rap or nobody should be hanging from there, then we should know that.
Well, I thought that was I did think.
Well, there was another event that rap did that for. That there were all kinds of banners with
Einstein. I think
Einstein.
That was pre the new ceiling.
Right. Well, so I don't know when this
when we had all those like banners hanging.
Right.
Yeah, that was before the new ceiling.
That was something heavier.
Well, they were all talking about photographs. That thing was heavy.
It's not so much the way that these clip-on things go on. You can see right here.
Yeah, they were very light.
I could see it pulling the plastic away, but not pulling the.
Yeah, they were very light.
Fishing wire and
I haven't looked up there enough in the last.
Fishing wire and
photographs. I don't get to
see how we could have done that.
Yeah, kind of at the last meeting, that wasn't there.
So.
Okay, well, just tell.
The ceiling looked very perfect the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. That part is definitely, because I look over there all the time.
Well, yeah,
I never look up.
Okay, so what should we do?
I'll talk to Raph.
This is all over.
You need to have the people that hung it come in and then get the cost.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Raph uses the building, maybe it's some kind of.
That one light makes me nervous because it's like kind of cockeyed. That section there is really the worst, I think. But.
Yeah.
All right, so
we don't want to be bad stewards.
There weren't the spaces like that.
No, I'm just, we just have to take care of it, though. Sure. So, all right, if you could have somebody come in
and
show them.
I know Eric and Ben were the main hangers.
And then we'll get quotes for what it'll cost.
You see, there's still a hook over there past that circular.
But you're talking about fishing wire and photographs.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
Did you look up?
I mean, I could see it maybe pulling the plastic.
I saw this a long time ago.
They weren't
well, were the photographs
no,
framed?
No, they weren't even framed.
They weren't framed.
They weren't framed pictures. They were just photographic paper.
Very thin, very light.
Along with a clip.
There's probably about eight of them.
Think about all of these.
It wasn't like that when you
I know nothing's going to be hung. I do know that. But.
That's
too bad. That looks awful.
That's been that way for
every one of them.
We have to remediate.
Because I think when
it looks awful.
There was heavier things when we have string band here with the cables for sound.
Yeah, I don't know. They just called me and said the ceiling is damaged from this weekend. So. All right. Well, we'll just proceed from there. Okay. Okay. I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 8:36. As there is no one from the public here, I will close the floor at 8:36.
Sounds good.
Very good. Do we need a closed session, Counselor? Okay. So remember, everybody, Tuesday the 20th, but try to come at 3 or 4 or 5. We're going to have, obviously, refreshments. No, this is just our Christmas party. The people invited are... mayor and council, an attorney, everybody who works for us. Carmella, John Holden, Mike Lyons.
When is it?
Staff.
The 20th, right before.
Are you coming to that
3 o'clock.
The
20th?
Yeah, from 3 to 5:30. So, if she wants to come on the later side and then just stick around to the meeting, or she can go to Wawa, whatever she wants. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
And second?
So that was Lou and Joe?
And Connie. We have 3. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We are adjourned at 8:36.
Okay.